previously. I thought we would have a discussion regarding each of the work that we've done so far on the teams and talk about general strategies in terms of the data gathering. Well, actually, let me restructure that. First of all, why don't we get an update and have a discussion about where we are in terms of the data gathering. Then a discussion of the team breakouts that we have last week. And then third, I would say that we have some preliminary discussions or some more concrete discussions about how we're going to handle the workshop in Rome. Anyone else have other business they'd like to append to that?
Whether we want to hold a meeting in Rome.
Okay, well, we can expand the Rome topic to include that. Okay, great. So
maybe one more.
Oh, point. Sure.
There seems to be a survey of task force participants going on from ICANN staff, and I was wondering if Barbara can maybe provide some more background on that survey.
Yeah, okay, we'll deal with that as the fourth topic then. Great. Well, let's start off in terms of the gathering effort. We have some responses in our archive, but not an overwhelming number, I guess. Kathy had raised the prospect to me by email of, at this point, since we are now ways beyond our initial deadline, doing some more formal extensions of the deadline.
Yeah, do you want me to talk about that for the GAC questions, Jordan?
Yeah, sure. Well, we'll get there in just a moment. I'm just sort of trying to deal with the issue. So we ought to think about, you know, how next steps in terms of encouraging more participation to our survey and, you know, what we think of that, as well as whether or not to what extent we think we're going to get valuable input from the community in Rome as well. So just open it up for thoughts in terms of where people think we stand at this point. Or I can just turn it over to Kathy to talk about the GAC in particular. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, I was surprised. I found out that the GAC questions haven't been widely circulated. Because I went in to talk to Suzanne Sten, and I said, okay, let's talk about, you know, some of the questions. And she pulled out the constituency questions. She didn't have the GAC questions. I think the sense was that she's the chair of the GAC's Who Is Working Group. Somehow they had been directed, and I don't know exactly by who. She thinks the GAC members were directed to the website, and not seeing anything that said GAC questions, she kind of downloaded constituency. And so I'm not even sure that, I'm not placing any blame on anybody, but I'm not sure the GAC members have even gotten the questions yet.
Kathy, it's Marilyn.
Yeah.
I remember that the staff sent the questions to the GAC, to Christopher.
It hasn't gotten out.
Ah.
I'm afraid. It appears it hasn't gotten out.
Yeah, I think the staff did send the questions to Christopher, and I think he distributed a link back to, just said to check the website as opposed to...
Yeah, you know, and I recall that's kind of what he announced to us on the council.
Yeah, well, we hadn't, I guess, thought through the fact that the only questions posted on the website are the constituency questions, not the GAC questions.
And, of course, it made sense that he would have redistributed them if he gave them an email form, but he didn't. So I think, and then when the question was raised, sorry about the echo here, when the question was raised of what was the deadline, you know, what is the deadline, as if it were coming up, I had to say, wait a second, the deadline's passed. And that was an embarrassing situation. So I think at least for the GAC questions, we should formally extend the deadline into March sometime. And with the other questions, I don't know, maybe till the end of the month, maybe until the Rome meeting, just so we get answers from the constituencies and the registrars. Maybe everyone's finishing up their stuff before Rome.
And one issue that we face is that the council last week, before we knew about this unfortunate situation with the GAC, had approved new timelines for the task forces, which may be compatible with getting some data in March. I guess the new dates, I don't know if everyone's seen, are on March 19th, 2004, to receive the constituency statements to be turned into a preliminary task force report about 3 weeks later on April 9th, and then an additional public comment period after that for the standard 20 days, and then about another 3 weeks after that in order to generate the final report. So the one concern, obviously, with the later we extend out deadlines, I guess the less likely we are to achieve some of the dates that the council is advising us to try to hit along with the other task forces.
Well, have we gotten any response from anybody on the GAC questions?
No.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Kathy?
Yeah.
Did Suzanne share with you, though, I mean, the GAC has their own questionnaire out, and we've seen their questionnaire. What kind of response have they gotten on their questionnaire? Because the other thing we asked, as I recall, was if they would share their response.
Well, that questionnaire, as you know, was emphasizing uses.
No, I know. I'm not saying
they've gotten responses. They've gotten responses on that.
I mean, my point is, if they got responses, then that may be a good indication that we too will get responses.
Yeah, so I would say that it definitely makes, I mean, obviously the GAC's just going to be seeing the questions at this point. The February 18th deadline doesn't make a lot of sense. We should probably think about a deadline that we're comfortable about being able to react to the data and still be useful in time for constituencies to have their statements ready by March 19th. Any thoughts on, I would tentatively say, unfortunately, that either we're not going to give constituencies a lot of time to react to the information, or we're not going to give the GAC a lot of time to give it for us, but as a way.
Well, we're going back to the council and tell them that the timelines just don't work.
I don't, you know, let me just raise that point, guys. I don't actually know how much flexibility we have about going back to council for a different reason. We were working backward from the Kuala Lumpur meeting on the time frame.
Yeah, but I guess one of the things is if you don't have enough data to make any good and guided decision on, it's not really worth making a decision at all. I guess that the council will be likely to approve that as well. I mean, if the people don't give us input, it's not our fault, so we can't do anything against it. But wait.
Yeah, Tom, I have a new problem that I need to raise with this group that has just come to my attention.
Yeah, go ahead, Meryl.
And I should just raise it now, I think.
I have been advised by some of the potential participants that they are concerned about anonymity and about legal issues related to their providing specific responses to the questionnaire.
Could you say that in further detail, Marilyn?
Well, it relates to several of the questionnaires, Barbara. This is Kathy, right?
Yeah,
is Barbara on the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think this is something we need to raise with John, Jeffrey, Kathy. The question I've been asked by a couple of the potential respondents, not government respondents, was the question of anonymity of the responses. And whether there's any potential legal liability that would arise out of providing information that is specific to a particular entity's use of the data.
Marilyn, can you talk about which questionnaires at least these questions are being raised regarding?
all of the questionnaires that I distributed within the business community had had raised questions about anonymity.
Right, so it's really, it's the, for us in particular, it's the constituency questionnaires as opposed to the CCNSO or GAT questionnaires.
Well, but the reason I think it's important to understand is it may impact whether or not people are responding to the questionnaires.
Okay, so so the question is, can their responses retain anonymity even though they're part of the public process? Is that the question?
Well, this is Steve Metallis. Can I ask a question, Marilyn?
Yeah.
So these are going out, say, to people in the business constituency. The end result is going to be a response from the business constituency. Is it possible to satisfy their concern for anonymity at that level? For example, by the business constituency saying, some of our members said X.
Possibly, Steve. Possibly. But apparently there was a... apparently the concern has been raised, and the concern has come to me from more than one company.
But
I mention it because I guess I'm wondering whether anyone has encountered it from questions from the registrars as well. Because the registrars are describing, they're asked to describe their practices, which may or may not be consistent with people's experiences of what they do.
I guess regarding registrars, so let me jump in here, you can find it out pretty easy yourself, to kind of going through their processes, never look at it. I mean, that is what I can have done before, and I don't see a reason why they should kind of want to have anonymity for their business practices, actually.
Tom, members of my constituency are familiar with having provided...
You are now muted.
...publicly criticized by members of the public or other constituencies. So that is why they are sensitive to this.
So I'm just trying to be really clear just so that I can ask the right questions of counsel.
What kind of... If someone responds to our questionnaire,
mm-hmm.
And they provide information that, for instance, might indicate that they are using WHOIS data in a particular way, and perhaps the registrar terms of service say that the data cannot be used in that way. What kind of liability do they have from having acknowledged that they are using the data? That would be one question.
Okay, so...
The second question might be, and look, I'll be very frank about this. Members of my constituency have been publicly criticized by others in the community for things that they think are valid uses of the data. So you could understand why they may be sensitive and responding.
So there's really two questions, as I understand it, and let me just be clear so that I'm asking the right questions. One is the question that's arising from the business constituency, which is that they're providing us with proprietary knowledge about how they use the data, and they would like to retain confidentiality of that proprietary knowledge.
Right.
Okay. That's a pretty straightforward one. The second one is, if in the responses that we receive, it appears that somebody is violating acceptable use policies or using the data in a manner that is prohibited, are we going to associate their name with that information for other purposes than just using the data for the survey?
Yep.
Okay.
Marilyn, I know he's not here.
and I, Milton and I don't always share the same views on everything, but he is an expert on this kind of analysis. And are you talking about anonymity in terms of the task force members analyzing the data, that we're not going to know who these responses come from?
Well, you know, Kathy,
I think Milton's going to hit the roof.
Well, you know, Kathy, I'm tolerant of people telling me that they're experts in areas that other people within the task force may have retained expertise on as well. But, you know, I do think it may be necessary to have anonymity in analyzing the responses. And I don't understand why, you know, it's something we probably should have thought of, but why wouldn't we want to provide that?
Because as Milton pointed out, and as Steve just pointed out, these are constituency questions. So if we get 50 responses that are anonymous from people, how do we know there aren't duplicates? How do we know who they are? How do we weigh them?
Well, we handled that last time by having the ICANN staff be the reservoir, so to speak, of the link of so that information was retained. It just wasn't made public to the people who did the analysis.
Right.
Marilyn, I still don't see the problem either, in fact. And my question goes in the same direction as Steve. We are dealing with a survey that's intended for constituencies in the first place and to which people can elect to respond even if they're just a constituency member, not a constituent. The one question for which it is really important for us, concerning the constituency questionnaire, the one question for which it is important for us to hear from individual members if they have any relevant knowledge is question 3. Please comment on any mechanisms that you are aware of to allow anonymous data domain registration or to limit the amount of contact data made publicly available through WHOIS. This is basically a question. If you have any knowledge and any pointers on this topic, please give it to us. We are trying to find out more about it. The other two questions are questions on which we are essentially soliciting constituency input, and Milton's note to the mailing list explains very clearly why, in this case, it is really the constituency answers that matter. So just Could you explain to me, does this anonymity problem that you raised also apply inside the constituency? So is it a problem for the business constituency to get information from its members in order to come to a constituency response on questions 1 and 2?
I think it may be broader than that, Thomas. If I felt it were only a business constituency issue, I could have managed it. But I think, you know, that it may be broader than that. If people have concerns, then they may not respond. And there may be ways of addressing their concerns so that we would get responses.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the bottom line is that there's a valid concern here that people that are using the WHOIS in ways that are perhaps outside the accepted model or the widely accepted model may feel reluctant to let us know about that. I'm not sure. I think the flip side of that is obviously we need to be able to manage the responses to the survey in such a way that we are capable of categorizing it and avoiding gaming of the survey responses. So do you, Marilyn, do you have any specific thoughts about a proposal that would reflect both of those concerns?
The reason I wanted to be sure staff was on was, you know, I wanted to ask the question of whether on the latter question of if people are opening themselves up to liability, I think that we need to ask that question of staff. And on the question of anonymity, I think we ought to be able to handle that by, again, maybe receiving the responses and aggregating them in a way so that they are not necessarily... There's an intermediary who knows, Kathy, and validates who the submission comes from, but that is not necessarily, and that should not be made public. It's just, you know, there's a, like we've authenticated, we have an authentication process.
But why can't the constituencies be the authentication process?
And maybe they can, but I think we ought to be aware that there is a concern out there, guys. That's why people contacted me, because I was bugging them for responses.
Barbara, can I add a question then that would go to General Counsel, which is,
sure,
if we're holding a public comment process, what is, based on kind of other models of public comment processes, what would be the likely effect or liability of not posting, of posting some but not all, or kind of changing the rules midstream?
Yeah,
I think it's a valid question, because
the
FCC
is the question I would worry about, not so much the validity of presenting two sources of data to the working group. I mean, we did discuss this back when we were talking about how you guys wanted to deal with the responses and creating a list and so on. So it's not the first time we've had some of this discussion.
And Marilyn, I'm sorry,
let me finish my point. One way to retain anonymity and yet still provide the public with a recognition of who all had responded to the survey is to, in fact, just simply divorce those two pieces of information. You know, to maintain a list of who responds to the survey and maintain survey results.
Yeah.
And those two don't need to be directly correlated with each other.
They do need to be.
Well,
they don't. I think the point, Kathy, is they don't technically or physically need to be. We, as a task force, may decide that we want them to be.
Right.
But let me suggest this. I don't want to get too down in the weeds on this topic, but why don't we have a few questions that we'd like the staff to answer at this point in order to get some clarity on this topic. In addition, I would encourage constituencies to the extent all of you are in communication with your constituencies, if there are members of the constituency that feel reluctant to give input directly to the task force, but would feel more comfortable doing so to constituency members and have their data sort of aggregated at the constituency level. Certainly, I would encourage that activity to take place so that we can get these responses in a timely manner at a constituency level. And it just could be represented as various members of our constituency have indicated that they use data for such and such purpose without getting into specifics of who or what that might be. And in the meantime, if we do get some feedback from the General Counsel, this is an important issue that we do need to address within the data gathering process, then we can make adjustments at that time. Okay. So I guess this was a slight diversion from our topic of whether or not we need to what sort of date we should set for expecting GAC responses back, since February 18th is probably not a good one. I suggest as perhaps as a compromise of giving constituencies adequate time to respond and getting soliciting GAC responses is that maybe it's going to be in the midst of the ICANN meeting.
Do we know that? This is Steve.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Do we know? It sounded as though maybe the questionnaire hadn't been sent out to the GAC members by Chris Wilkinson.
Right. No, I believe that's the case. That's the exact issue that we're facing. So the question is when.
How do we get it to them?
Well, I think.
Because they obviously can't answer it until
after. Right. Well, so one thing we can do is just simply post the GAC questionnaire on the website as well, since Chris has asked people to look at the website. The other alternative is just is something that Glenn's already done, actually, is just to send out the questionnaire and remind them that this is not posted on the website, and please distribute this throughout the GAC as opposed to just telling people to look at the website. I think he intended to distribute it. It's not. The mechanism wasn't quite correct.
I think both those things would be worth doing, and we can assure them that their answers would be posted on the website, and that's their concern in the fact that Maryland's issue, but...
Could you maybe speak up a bit, Steve? You're really hard to understand.
I'm sorry. I think both of those steps should be taken, and maybe we can say that we won't post their answers on the website. I don't know if we were planning to post individual country answers or not. But
those would go into the archive.
Yeah,
so.
Well, at least we should put on the website their questionnaire, too, so that they can have access to it.
Yeah. So I think we're in agreement that we do want to get this better distributed to the GAC, but right now we're telling them that we want their responses a week ago. So the question is, what's a reasonable extension to get them and still be able to get useful constituency statements back by late March? And I'm going to suggest that we say, oh, my calendar's wrong. I'm going to suggest that we say March 10th.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, some of
how about March
15th?
March 15th
gives us 3 days for constituencies to respond to that, so.
Which won't happen either.
I'm in agreement, so. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we can, at the end of the day, if we don't have the data we need to do to make adjustments to the calendar, but we ought to try to abide by it to the extent that the council has given us directives to try to achieve certain dates, and I think it would be a shame a mere 3 days after that fact to already be deviating from it. So I think we ought to try to propose dates where, theoretically at least, we could achieve those dates.
Well, with all due respect, Jordan, I think we are looking foolish enough already by extending deadlines 1 week after the deadline has been extended, and I don't think we should repeat that exercise too often in the future. And the calendaring you are just proposing is going is almost bound to go down the very same path we have been going down with the questionnaire already. So I'd rather come up with a realistic timeline, I think, and
I might go through the discussions. And you are, council is going to be meeting with the GAC, and we'll have the opportunity to say, you know, we understand there were some problems with distribution, and, you know, the deadline has been extended to allow, you know, to allow for you to develop responses. And I think March 15th is, you know, probably a decent deadline. What was the deadline that was agreed upon for the constituency statements, Jordan?
Originally, or?
No, now, the most recent.
Let me look that up, actually.
And, Jordan, while you're doing that, it's Marilyn. I have a concrete suggestion on this. Today is, sorry, guys, April the 23rd. Not, sorry, February the 23rd. Sorry, February the 23rd, right? If the questionnaire goes today from, or tomorrow, from Suzanne as the chair of the Who Is Task Force, I'm just being hypothetical here, and if Christopher puts it up on the website and sends an alert to the GAC members, let's say that we can get it out by the 25th. Possibly? Or, you know, make sure that it's in everyone's hands in the GAC by the 25th?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
2 days from now? Then most people would probably be able to distribute it, since they know who distributed it to. The thing that I learned about their last questionnaire is that it took them a long time to get it out because they didn't know who to go to within their country in some cases. Well, they now know.
Right.
So they have the contacts. Perhaps what we should be doing is trying to help them get it distributed by seeing if we could get both Suzanne and Christopher to distribute it. If it's out by the 25th, and our idea would be to have it back by the, sorry, Jordan, by the when?
I said the 10th.
The 10th. But the 10th is...
I think the 10th is a little optimistic just because...
The 10th is Wednesday after returning from ICANN.
Yep.
But the GAC generally leaves early. The GAC usually leaves on Wednesday.
And
so,
they also start early on Saturday.
Right, I know.
Or they
start on Sunday. My point was just, if you know, if you kind of flowchart it, it's not quite as bad as long as we can take steps to get it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key, is obviously getting it distributed as quickly as possible. I mean, we won't have an opportunity to give any feedback or for the council to consider any changes to the calendar until, I guess, till Rome, which isn't that far away, a week and a bit.
Jordan, I guess this task force has identified one little bleep in our rocky road to success. Do we think that the other two task forces, Barbara, are likely to have any similar situations? Are they going to the GAC as well?
Neither of them have questionnaires for the GAC.
Yeah, neither one of them.
That was what I thought. So are we fairly confident that except for this issue, that the time is okay for other purposes? Or do we think that we actually... Is this the only anomaly that affects the timeline?
Yeah, I mean, I would say other than the general slow responses that are affecting the other two task forces, this is the only anomaly. I think the slow responses are not really an anomaly so much as an expectation.
If this is the only anomaly, I don't know if we can go back to council and ask for a modification. I don't know if we would get support.
You know, I'm in agreement that I think at this point, on the basis of one questionnaire, it would be difficult to...
Yeah, but this is the questionnaire, guys. This is, you know, what are your laws? What do your laws say? And they haven't been asked this before. And this
Kathy,
is
while
and there's a level of frustration out there. I can tell you that, you know, people want to answer the questions, but they also want to have the time to do it.
Kathy, while it is important, I disagree with a statement that this is the questionnaire. If we are turning the Internet over to government, we're in real trouble.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Marilyn, please. That's definitely not what I said. We're on team one, and this is our questionnaire. I mean, this is what are we going to do, make this stuff up? This is the questionnaire for team one. We're waiting for these answers.
I thought we were also going to undertake other ways to identify the laws. Through an analysis of the OECD publication and also the EPIC documents that you had identified. And I agree that it's important, but looking more broadly, I don't see that we would get council support for modifying the timeline. And that's the real question here. We might be able to treat this... perhaps if we can do the rest of our work and meet the rest of our deadlines, then we have a extended response period within the framework for just the GAC questionnaires.
Say that again, an extended response in the framework for the GAC questionnaire. Okay.
Keeping our end date the same for Kuala Lumpur.
Right, so the final dates, like the dates of the actual report publication, would have to stay the same.
Right.
But you have the ability within that to rejigger certain elements of the...
Right. That's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we... the problem is going to be that I don't think constituencies are going to want to provide a separate constituency statement just with regards to... the GAC statements. And by and large, actually, many of the constituencies probably... I don't know. You guys can give me feedback as to whether or not the GAC survey is going to be relevant to generating your constituency statements.
Well, speaking for the registrars, I would think that it's pretty important because we all rely, or we have to abide to different laws and to different national legislation. So it would be very important for us to find out about that. And I guess it will be a big indicator about whether we can put out a real joint statement of the constituency or not.
Sure. So, I mean, I guess our challenges are if we have a fixed date in terms of the preliminary report, we can push back the date for the GAC deadline. If we push that to the 15th and then give constituencies 2 weeks after that, take this to the 29th of March for constituency statements, which leaves us about 10 days to produce a preliminary report.
Yeah, I would actually hate to see that get pushed back that far. I'm wondering if it's just a difficult thing because you want to have the data available to the constituencies to formulate their statements.
Could you guys talk again about some of the later dates coming up? When's the final report?
Well, everything else is fixed from the date of the preliminary report because there's no, that's all within the, you know, like the public comment period has to be 20 days. We can't shorten that.
Mm-hmm.
So the subsequent days are 20 days after the 20 days after the preliminary task force report, the public comment period. I mean, I guess we could shorten the period between the end of the public comment period and the final report. Would be the only way to...
Again, I think you're more likely to get success on this if by that point we're back on schedule with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think public comment...
The writing of those final reports is actually going to be a very time-consuming process. You know, I think you're going to want to allow as much time as possible since there's three of them that have to be prepared. Or we're going to combine them back into one. Whichever way it's going to be, it's going to take quite a bit of effort.
When's the final report due out?
May 20th.
And when's the Kuala Lumpur meeting?
The start of July?
No, it's actually later than that now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even later.
We're changing the Kuala Lumpur meeting?
Well, you know, I asked that question too because I had this idea that it was somehow in the beginning of July, and but that's not what it shows on the webpage.
I thought it was late June.
No. It doesn't show late June. I can guarantee you that.
So if the Kuala Lumpur meeting is...
July 19th to the 23rd is what's shown on the website.
Then why do we have to meet...
May 20th.
Oh.
Well, the idea was to have a meeting where the council considers the final report.
Right. And then council has to put it out for comment then, too. Right?
No, I don't.
No, once the council approves it, it can go directly for board consideration.
Yes, so then they want to put it before the board, and then they wanted the board to have time to consider it before KL, so that they could perhaps render policy decisions in KL.
Right, but if the council has a meeting in mid-June, the realistically the report has to be before them, you know, at least
a few weeks prior to that. It has to be 14 days at a minimum.
Right.
Okay, so June 1.
Yeah, that's about the extent of the leverage I see is maybe 10 days or so.
Great. I think that could make a big difference.
But we don't have that agreed to by council at this point, right?
Not yet. I think that's probably a modification that, you know, a 10-day modification that's not going to push us one way or the other in terms of a council meeting seems...
Okay, we need to raise that question, Jordan. Those of us who are counselors, we need to raise that question immediately because Bruce has sent the approved request from council to the general counsel to ask for board agreement.
To the board, yep. But if other than that we're in agreement, I think we could make the request to council to just push back those days by about 10 days. Have the final day for GAC responses to be on the 15th, and that would give until the 29th, so exactly 2 weeks for constituencies to produce their statements after the close of the GAC comment period.
Okay, so we're not producing an interim report now?
No, we still would produce an interim report.
Okay.
Oh, that's the really crucial one.
Right. Yeah, on the 19th instead. What I would say is just each of these days fall back 10 days.
Okay, so the interim report would come out on the
19th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Constituency statements on the 29th. And then the preliminary task force report. Sorry, I'm missing some of the dates.
Preliminary task force report's on the 19th. The public comment period would end about the 8th of May. And then the 30th of May would be the final report.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll send a note to Bruce and to the council with a note along those lines, and hopefully.
And George, to your fellow.
No, I said, and to the fellow counselors, yeah.
No, sorry.
Oh, sorry, to the fellow task force chairs?
Yes.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so with that bit of scheduling taken care of, does anyone else have any thoughts on the general data gathering process? Where do we stand? I know that Team 1 has been looking at the OECD and EPIC reports. Have we nailed down anything in terms of permission to use or strategies for obtaining those?
Let's see. The OECD report is available online, and the EPIC report, we've talked about it's obtainable. And some of it's available online as well.
Okay, so the OECD report, we don't need to do anything further. The Team 1 is comfortable with reviewing that online.
Are you ready for kind of the team reports?
I guess we can dive into them at this point if no one else has any comments on the general data gathering efforts. So why don't I start with Team 1? Do you guys have a designated speaker or something like that to give us an update?
Kathy, can you do
it? Sure, because I took the minutes of the meeting. So let me hop over to it. And everybody else chime in, please. We had several opening. I mean, this was kind of a first meeting, so we're trying to figure out. One of the things we looked at was the questions and the scope of the work assigned to us. Another question that we had was staff support. We weren't sure if we have ICANN staff support in this process, so let me leave that as a question that we'd like to discuss. The other question we had is whether there's any existing work going on by staff right now on previous presentations, existing privacy law compilations. We weren't sure. We didn't think so, but we want to ask that, so a second question to Barbara. We did talk about and are putting together and sending out links of past work that's been done, and especially government and governmental agency submissions to the prior Who Is Task Force and also ones that have been written on the Who Is data. And we began the process of dividing up the OECD and EPIC material because we agreed we should start work on that immediately since that's material in hand, and talked about where to find it, how to buy it, et cetera. We divided up as readers of the, everybody's taking on the OECD or the EPIC report. And then we began the process of trying to figure out how we do our work. One of the things we're looking at, and someone on Team 1 is looking at, is how to sample countries. Do we want to, we don't have the time or the resources to look at every country's laws, but how to kind of divide it up into region and pick four or five representative countries per region. So that's one of the things we're looking at. The other is an analysis or a plan for how to look at the laws and things that we hope and expect will be coming in from the GAC, and kind of coming up with a plan for how to analyze them and questions to be asking. So we kind of did a lot of preparatory material. Does anybody else want to add anything?
Sorry, Niklas Fagren just joined. Sorry to be late.
Thanks, Niklas. Okay, thanks for the update on Team 1. Have you guys given thought and consideration to some of the templates and issues of how you'll convey data back to the, or analysis back to the task force as a whole?
Did we do that?
Well, I prepared some kind of an Excel sheet, which I would be willing to pass to all of the task force members. Just that's how I envision how we should could do it, at least.
Yeah, that seems having some sort of standardized format for presenting the analysis seems worthwhile in order to allow the task force as a whole that may not have the same depth of understanding of all of the data issues to be able to intelligently parse exactly what you've prepared.
You don't want to read it all word for word?
That would sort of defeat the exercise, I guess.
Good point.
Hey, is Maggie on this call?
Hi, yes, I am.
Did you get my email that I wound up with an extra copy of the EPIC book?
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, okay, it didn't bounce back.
Maybe
could you...
my inbox. Yeah, that would be great, because I was just getting ready to go online and order it.
Do you have my email? Can you send? Sorry to do this online, guys, but I tried to send Maggie several messages about this. Can you send me email, Maggie, and
yes,
and then I'll have your email address?
I will definitely do that.
Great, and I will get that out to you.
Great.
Great.
As far as the two staff questions, the second one's easier to answer. No, as far as I know, staff is not doing any work in this area on privacy laws if they apply to it. As a matter of fact, I don't think staff is doing anything on privacy laws at all at the moment. As far as the first one, the staff support, I can say pretty confidently, I don't have the resources to sit in on all three of the working groups that we've divided into. That's just going to tax me too much, and I can ask Kurt if there's other resources available who might be able to share in some of this, but I think particularly right now before Rome, we're unlikely to get a positive response to that. After Rome, things might be a little different, so that people who are currently dedicated in what they're doing might be freed up a little bit. So I think that if we look at this in the post-Rome version, then it's possible that there may be additional support available. But I can't guarantee that by any means.
Barbara, in one of our past calls, we asked a question. I thought that you might be forwarding it on to the General Counsel about whether there might be some legal support in this process.
Yes, actually, he responded affirmatively to that. He said that if there were specific, I'll get him to write it up. He and I had a conversation about it. If there were specific questions that arose that could be submitted as a particular, distinct question, not just a more general, if they say this, what do they do? But then he felt that would be appropriate to have counsel support, whether it be internal counsel or going to an outside source.
Did he give any examples?
He did, and I'm afraid I don't want to just pop it out because I might have gotten it wrong. That's why I'll ask him to write something, quickly.
Great, thank you.
Sort of set the context for that.
Excellent, okay. So thanks. So team two, unfortunately, I have problems synchronizing my calendar between my work computer and my home computer, so I was off by an hour and missed the call. But Steve or maybe someone else from the team two call, could you give us an update?
Well, I can certainly
or
also
Thomas.
Do it. First of all, we were really missing both Barbara and you.
It
would have been helpful to have had you guys on the call. That said, Team 2 is charged with looking at part of the registrar response and was looking at question 3 from the old registry's questionnaire that was the anonymizing services question, in particular concerning the registrar response. We only have, I believe, two answers from registrars so far. That's GoDaddy and Deutsche Telekom, so we didn't feel that we have any material that would make it a reasonable exercise to start analyzing data at this point. So Team 1 has basically postponed its work until there is something to work on. Concerning the anonymizing services question, I believe we only have input on that from the ISPCP, which names some services, and from GoDaddy, which runs such a service. That's about all that's there, and that's very little to start reporting about.
Right. Once again, Thomas, did you have a chance to discuss any sort of strategies or templates for reporting that back?
The main strategy was to wait and see
Okay. And Team 3, it sounds like, had a more interesting conversation. Nicholas, can you give us an update on?
Yeah, first we actually had quite a few troubles just to call the meeting because David was unfortunately in Africa and Wendy was unavailable last week. But finally we managed to have a conversation, Milton and I, last Thursday. And when it comes to question, we're supposed as data analysis team 3 to look at question 1 and 2 of the constituencies questionnaire. And for the moment, I had a look this morning, there are only 8 replies that have arrived till now. And what we basically agreed was that I would prepare a template in order to be able to compile these answers at a later stage, and that I would send it early this week. I intend to do that tomorrow to the other members of Data Analysis 3. But anyway, for the moment, there are only 8 questions, 8 replies, sorry. And otherwise, when it comes to the... we did not really discuss the replies to the previous WHOIS survey, and I've myself just had a look, and I have the feeling that the questions that are of interest for us are basically to be found among the 10 first ones, notably question 1 on the status of the respondent, question 3 on the frequency of use of WHOIS, 4 on the use of WHOIS, 5 on the purpose of the WHOIS service, question 6 on the attitude towards access to WHOIS data, question 7 on possible inconvenience because of inaccurate data, and I think also question 8, 9, and 10, but right now I don't really remember what they are about. So what I'm supposed to do now is to send this template to the 3 other members by tomorrow. And when it comes to the former survey, I have the feeling that the job that was made last time around when it comes to tables, charts, and so on was pretty good and can basically be used as such. There, basically what we need to do is a lot of cut and paste. So that's where we stand right now in Team 3.
Great. Yeah, so my general take, it seems like... The teams have had some initial discussions and seem to be pointed in the right direction, but we don't have a lot of data yet to look at, unfortunately, except perhaps Team 1 if they get the ability to start looking at some of these external data sources, like the EPIC and OECD reports or whatever other governmental inputs may already exist. This may be slightly different for Team 1, but it seems like Team 2 and 3, at the very least, probably can continue to do all of their, you know, any discussions and finalizing of templates and so on by email over the next week or two certainly through the end of Rome, at least, while we wait for additional data to trickle in. But I wonder, just in terms of scheduling, is it going to make... Well, actually, why don't... Does anyone else have anything to say here? Because I think the next issue is just going to be scheduling, and we can jump to the Rome topic to speak a little bit about that. Okay, great. So in terms of Rome, we do have next week a brief sort of get-together next Monday evening to discuss the presentation that we'll be making at the workshop. We also have the workshop, which is on Thursday or Wednesday? I don't remember.
Tuesday.
Okay. Kathy's also asked the question of whether or not we should have a task force meeting in Rome, and I guess I'm not opposed to it. I open up, I wonder what people's schedules are like at this point and whether they think it's practical to devote a slice of time to a task force meeting in Rome.
It's Marilyn. I am not sure that I'm going to have the time to do. Once I have some responsibilities on Monday that I have to participate in, and once Tuesday morning begins, I have no time at all until the end of the public forum.
And Barbara, that's pretty much my schedule as well.
And one of the things that's limiting it is we are going to have a working council, a working group of council meeting on Thursday morning before the WSIS event. So that's gone as an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, and does anyone else have similar schedule constraints? But I mean, I think it's going to be awfully difficult to organize something in Rome at this point.
Okay. Thanks for trying.
Pardon?
I mean, I think if there's some situation that warrants it after the workshop, we could probably make a decision at that point. You know, and try to carve time out sort of because of some expressed need to meet right then. But I think the workshop can function as the meeting for that week in terms of, you know, if there are updates that people need to give or you know, like that. Because we're still in the stage of, you know, analyzing the data. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So given that, I would encourage the various teams to, you know, continue to have dialogues about how the data analysis might occur on LIST. And then I guess the week after Rome, does it make sense? Should we have team meetings scheduled once again? Should we have a task force meeting or both?
Well, I would think that team meetings would be somehow better because there will be a lot of talk we have to do over the things we made research on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that by after following the conclusion of Rome, we ought to have a decent set of data that we can work on. And if we don't by that point, we'll be beginning to have problems generally, and probably some of the other task force as well. So it seems like team meetings that following week are called for. And I guess the question is, do people feel there's also a need for a task force-wide meeting that following week in the second week of March? Sounds like no. Okay, so given that, then, we will. I will have Glenn once again coordinate with the various teams to set up times the following week in which you can have calls that are conveniently scheduled for each of you. And once again, you know, it may be just most convenient to use the slot that we usually use. Okay, and I guess the last topic we had, before we jump off Rome, there's probably some preparatory work that we need to do prior to next Monday. I can go ahead and take some initiative and put together some sort of presentation. But unfortunately, if I'm going to do that, it's probably not going to see the light of day until shortly before the first Monday in Rome, probably this weekend sometime when everyone's traveling. So if people are comfortable with that, I'm glad to do it. Otherwise, we may need a volunteer or two to put together some sort of presentation that the task force can review on LIST during the coming week.
Is one person presenting? Jordan, are you presenting? Is everybody presenting? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, the form, I mean, we're actually somewhat flexible in that regard. The initial format that was discussed is that the chair would do an initial presentation. And then there would be some opportunity for other task force members to have a brief amount of discussion before we open it up to Q&A and more general discussion with the community.
Okay. So the idea is everybody has 5 minutes?
I mean, we could formalize it that much. Let me ask everyone, does everyone want to have an opportunity to do some sort of spiel as part of the format in Rome?
Well, I don't
really point out that with so many of you, that will take up a considerable amount of time.
Right. Well, so if that were the desire, right, slot would obviously have to be pretty short, I guess. So I'm just trying to figure out what.
How about this may be a silly suggestion. We have three teams. How about each team and kind of the important thing right now is to let people know what data, let the constituencies know what data is being collected, whether or not it's all been collected or not, what's being collected, what they should be looking for so that they can use it in their constituency statements. So if we have each team present a little bit about what their, you know, what their topic is, what they're looking at, maybe that'll help people know what's out there and have some sense of what they can use.
Yeah, no, I do agree that would be useful. I mean, if that seems like a good format, what I would suggest is probably 10 to maybe 15-minute overview of the overall task force's goals and work that I could do, and then maybe 5 minutes from each of the teams just sort of describing the general topics that they're looking at and the types of data that's useful for them. And that gives us about, I don't know, 20 to 30 minutes of boring didactic content to broadcast out before we get to more interactive conversations with the community there.
That's reasonable.
Okay, so if that's the case, each team will need to come up with its own presentation and presenter. It's probably most efficient to do that offline, but as long as everyone feels confident, they can do so over the next few days, because probably we do want to make sure that we have everything, that the teams have the opportunity to approve the presentation and so on prior to getting to Rome. Okay, well, I will encourage all of you to do that then, to have conversations amongst each of the teams to identify the probably whoever volunteers to lead the presentation may want to put together an initial draft that the rest of the team can react to. And I will go ahead and endeavor to put something together in terms of a general overview for the work group as a whole, and I will try to get that out as soon as possible. Any other final concluding thoughts on Rome? Okay, great. So the last topic we had was the survey of task force participants that has been circulated by Liz Williams, I believe.
Yeah.
Barbara, can you provide any insight into what's going on there?
Only a very little, because I also was subject to her questions without a lot of context. my understanding is that she's preparing a report on the GNSO PDC process and what is functioning well and where there are areas that might need adjustments. And, you know, she's looking at everything from the timing of it to the formation of questions to the staff support question, and she was pretty thorough in her discussion with me, you know, and I hope everybody is taking the opportunity to give as much feedback as possible. I do not know when this report will be published. I know that it's going to Paul Toomey first, and that he will make decisions about the timing for releasing it.
Sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
Are we the first PDP process to go through, or have there been others?
This is the first full process.
Yeah, the deletes task force ran under tried to use these rules, but with obvious modifications and very limited staff support, and it was not fully followed because it hadn't been officially adopted yet.
I don't know how we can answer some of these questions. Does the PDP deliver policies which recognize consensus? We don't know yet.
Well, I think you can answer that way. You can also perhaps talk about processes that have been used in the past and whether you felt they were effective. You know, did they produce policy that was appropriate to what had been discussed? I mean, one of the things that came out in my discussion with Liz was that some of our policy processes in the past had worked better than others, clearly. And so that, you know, for instance, the RPG
process went relatively quickly compared to, say, you know, how transfers went. And looking at those two instances might give us some insight into, you know, what motivates a particular process to function effectively, and what are some of the factors that cause it to get slowed down. And I think that's the kind of information she's looking for. Okay, but if you feel compelled to say, you know, look, this is the first one and we have no idea how effective it is, then I think you should definitely share that information.
I think I might.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she's just trying to get a good picture of what is and what isn't working to keep the process flowing and to make sure that the issues are dealt with in a way that produces good policy. And so whatever feedback you think is most appropriate to, you know, to help her with that, then that's, you know, how you should reply to the question.
Okay, thanks.
Great, thanks, Barbara. Any other questions about this topic? Okay, with that, we'll close, and we'll look forward to seeing everyone at the pre-workshop on Monday evening.
All right, see y'all next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Happy travels.
Bye.
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 Marilyn.